Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
How are you guys doing? This episode is sponsored by Hillsdale College. We are back after a small weekend. Kind of waiting on what's going on inside of Ukraine. There has been two areas where you have Ukrainians advancing, and you have another, or excuse me, you have two areas, I guess you'd say. And then you have another area where the Russians are advancing. So we have two parts of the country we're going to talk about. Actually, kind of three. There's a little bit going on in the Bakhmut region. We're going to start off with, what do you think, Robotyne? Or do you want to go up to Kupiansk?
I say we go up and just knock Kupiansk out and get it out the way, work our way down, and then get into Robotyne. Because the bulk of the information I have is going to be for Robotyne.
Okay.
So I say we knock out Kupiansk, work our way down to Robotyne.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm actually going to look at some stuff that's going on in Bakhmut. I saw in Klivshika. It looks like there's been a little bit of advancing. I don't know. It looks like there's a little bit more panicking, as you would say, on the Russian side inside of that area, on the southern side of Bakhmut. I'm seeing a lot of... There's one video which I can't show, but they're... legitimately struggling to get out of there with some of their
The Russians trying to get out of Klivshika.
Yes, they're pushing some of their artillery pieces out of there.
Oh yeah,
they're moving, and that's what I keep seeing over and over and over and over again, and it's not working out too well.
Well, so. UAF has been pushing through Klivshika for a while now. They've been like 50% of the way through that village,
and then just a couple hours ago they actually tried to do yesterday I guess you'd say they tried to do the Russians tried to do a counterattack. And it did not pound out at all in Klivshika. And these are all the video footage that's coming out of them tucking tail and having, like, literally this is posted by the Defense of Ukraine. And this is them having to actually bring those artillery pieces back out of that area because they were getting their teeth kicked in so bad.
They're just getting destroyed by counter battery or whatever.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, you go ahead and touch on the Kupiansk piece.
Yeah. Let me open that up.
So everybody's aware, we have the kind of fighters we have in Kupiansk. We have criminals and conscripts. Not really the best fighters that Russia has to offer up in that area.
So I will say that I have this video I'm going to play for them because that's what I've been hearing a lot is criminals and conscripts that are just kind of being thrown.
That's what I hear.
And it makes me wonder because I'm going to play this video and then I'm going to talk about what's going on in Kupiansk. So criminals and conscripts is what we've been hearing, but at the same time, it would appear right now from all the reporting that Ukraine is losing ground in Kupiansk. And so if Ukraine's losing ground against criminals and conscripts, it kind of begs the question, what the hell is actually going on up there? And I don't think that's entirely true going in there. There's probably a couple more.
This is wild.
Where's that out of?
This is that.
That's Bakhmut.
That's those people. The group in Klivshika. Look at the ground and watch this. They get, look at this. Absolutely throttled. I don't know if that was a mine, but it looks like artillery. That absolutely already. Direct impact right there. I mean, that's huge. That's massive. Look at that. And these other guys, they tried to come out in the middle of the field. But, I mean, oh, my God. Talk about accurate artillery fire. We can't show you guys because it's YouTube would take the video down and whatnot. But, I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It looks like that movie Holes.
That's some of the craziest pitting I think I've seen. I mean, look at that, dude. Look at that.
That's a lot.
That is wild.
I don't think people understand either when we say jeez, how many artillery rounds they're shooting a month. You know what I mean? Crazy. We're like, yeah, Ukraine's shooting 7,000, Russia's shooting 50.
Goosebumps,
like,
dude.
Yeah, it's a lot already, man.
That's like crazy. Wow.
So yeah, the conscripts and whatnot over inside Kupiansk. I don't think it's all that way. I think Russia's got a little bit more ass behind them. Probably a lot of the infantry troops that they're sending in on the ground maybe are. But here is I saw this interview of this guy. It's a self-propelled artillery crew from over outside there. And they're kind of like interviewing him. I think the guy himself, he is like the standard. When you see this video, he is like that standard regular army nerd, you know, that you see. But the way he's talking about him and his crew and how well coordinated they are and everything, if you watch.
Задача моя навестись на цель и отработать по ней. Как поступает команда, мы сразу же отрабатываем по ней. Поступает команда к бою.
When the command comes to the battle, the crew, we quickly get in the vehicle and hit the target. All the guys are serious and want to work on it. Commander, driver, mechanic. Do a number of calculations. We all live together. We all support each other. My big thing looking at this guy is like looking at his equipment that he has on, like whether or not he looks professional. And like you can tell he's just one of those like, I don't want to say like fat NCOs or something like fat, you know, like officer type deals, but like he's actually decently put together. It looks like he runs a pretty decent crew. Like his uniform is a little bit more faded. Like check out like the tape and stuff like that on him. So he's been out there for a while. I think he even says that they've been up on the front for like 6 months straight now or something. So it's just, I don't know. It's interesting to me that if those are the guys that are out there pushing them, and that video did apparently come out of that area from where I found. So now we're going to start talking about what's actually going on up in Kupiansk right here in the middle. And then we can zoom in and come down over here. This yellow area is the assessed Russian control. Now, Russia, unlike Ukraine, likes to open up these big wide fronts going across when they end up making assaults. So Russia opened up this wide front. Originally, it was divided right down here in the middle. This was a front here, and then we had this front right here, and they were pushing in. Well, Russia has now been able to join these two lines. Ukraine had a counteroffensive that they actually launched right up here in this area, and it was holding them back for a good deal of time. I even think I said last week that their counteroffensive that Russia had held, or that Ukraine had put up against Russia, was doing a very good job. Now it seems like that line broke, and the Ukrainians are all the way back down here in Petrovka. Now, what I have heard through various different reporting types is that the Russians are now in the high ground just out to the east of Petrovka, like the northeast of Petrovka. So this map is even up to date according to some of the things that I've heard. So the Russians are on the high ground outside the city right here, and they're looking at maybe possibly coming around flanking, but they're going to attempt to attack this village. In any case, the Ukrainians now are out there blowing bridges. So the Ukrainians are worried about it to the point where they're saying, hey, we need to blow bridges. So right down in this area is a bridge that ends up separating these two cities of Kupiansk and Petrovka. I know I'm mispronouncing the shit out of that.
Don't ask me.
But anyways, they blew that bridge right up in between. And there's videos of the Ukrainians going around blowing bridges across this river in order to try to get them down. Now, the Russians are saying their goal is to get over to the Oskola River. And kind of like reassess from there, but I don't know how that's going to look for them. But bottom line is that Russians are making advancements on this front now. They're making advancements on this front. What we thought was a shit attack that wasn't going to amount to anything is slowly starting to turn into it's amounting stuff. So whether or not Ukraine kicks them out of here in the next couple of days, we will end up seeing, but Russia is in moving it around. And so this village is likely to fall pretty quick, or it's going to be a major battle, one or the other, but it's to the point where Ukraine's blowing bridges and they're worried about it.
So how many bridges have been blown?
Well, there is no official statement from Ukraine that I've seen on the amount of bridges they've blown, but I saw three blown in one video.
Okay. All right. Well, that actually is a little... All right. I know Russia. We all know Russia was doing that when they were getting their teeth kicked in and to slow down the advancements.
Right.
I don't know. I think I personally want to say that the Ukrainians are going to hold that city. I'd like to say they'd hold that city.
I'd like to say they would too.
I did notice that they're mounting a little bit more men on the northeastern side of that area, just a little bit. I don't know if it's because that's where they think they can punch through. That I'm talking about the Russians, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case, but.
Oh, and this village right here that's up on the map, while we're talking about this
that's
village
what I'm talking
right
about
here, there, this yeah. one apparently has already fallen.
That one's already fallen?
Yep.
Fallen like 100%?
Fallen like fallen? Owned okay. by the Russians, apparently.
All right. Well, I do know down in, if you want to slide down to Bakhmut, yeah. which is probably one of the areas I think the Ukrainians have taken, I know this is not going to sound right, I think it's like 3 square miles, I think 3 square miles over the last week or so. I know. Not a lot. Not a ton, but it is at least something. And I know that they just kicked the absolute living piss out of the Ukrainians, or excuse me, the Russians. If you guys want to see the video that I were talking about, you guys actually go over to like the Ukrainian Defense Ministry's Twitter, because I can't show it on YouTube because it's literally Russians getting pounded by artillery. Mm. And they're, when I mean like accurate artillery, it's probably some of the more accurate artillery on moving targets we've seen. It's really good. But yeah, that was just north of Klishivka is where that video was coming from. And then Bakhmut is pretty much the same.
There's got to be an open field or something, like right over here outside of it. That's probably where that video was taking place.
That is exactly where the video was taking place.
Of them running through.
That's exactly
where it was taking place. Yep.
That's where the Russians have attempted to push through with a counteroffensive that did not pan out whatsoever. And I don't even know how real those numbers are. I told you guys earlier with the 70,000, 100,000.
Nobody
does. Those numbers aren't 100% going to be real, but it is what it is.
Do you want to get into the exciting part?
I love exciting. I mean, that's pretty much. Do you know the U.S. Embassy apparently just put out today, 19 minutes ago, which I think I sent this over to you, about Belarusians urging U.S. citizens to depart from the country immediately?
Did they say why?
It notes that Lithuanian government closures of the border crossings. Apparently, they close all those borders until the 18th, and further border crossings by Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia are now possible. So, pretty much, if you guys are in Belarus and Americans, all the border crossings are going to be completely closed down.
Oh,
so, and they go on to tell you, do not enter Ukraine. So, I don't really know how that's going to. If you're entering Ukraine as an American from Belarus, I think you got a little bit more issues. Probably should be going from Poland over, but
I think that's what most people do. That's what I did. Why would you go from Belarus? Why would you do that?
It says U.S. citizens are not permitted to enter Poland overland from Belarus. Do not travel to Russia or to Ukraine. So it's another one of those things. Thank you, U.S. government. You are a few months behind. So,
wow.
I don't know. It is what it is.
Well, I mean, yeah, it kind of makes sense because I guess if Lithuania and them are going to close their borders down, they want the U.S. citizens to be able to get out in the event of something bad happening. They don't want their U.S. citizens fleeing to Ukraine for damn sure.
So get out now
because Lithuania is closing the border because they're making a statement probably. All right, Robotnik, you want to talk about it? You want me to hit it?
I'll let you hit it. I'm looking more of these videos that are coming through with Klitschko. I mean, they're just, dude, look at this. I mean, they're just getting.
Yeah, I know. I wish pounded. We could show this.
I wish I could show you guys this. It is so crazy. Like, this is, we got cluster munitions at work. Everything you could possibly is going at work right here. God bless them. Just, I mean, bam.
Boom, boom.
God bless. Now, you know, in history, economics, the great works of literature, the meaning of the United States Constitution, did you guys study any of these things while in school? Probably not. You're like me. Okay? Even if you guys did, maybe it's time for a refresher. Time and technology have changed a lot of things, but they have not changed basic fundamental truths about the world and our place in it. I'm sure you guys live a busy life like we all do, and because of that, you might think to yourself that you don't have enough time to learn something new, but time is actually all you have. You should use as much of it as possible to discover things that make you guys better and help you guys know what is best. So since 1844, and yes, I said that correctly, 1844, Hillsdale College has been providing an education in faith, freedom, and character because they believe in a virtuous citizen in the defense of liberty. Yes, that's why they've taken these core classes and they made them pretty much, well, they made them free for you guys. All the ones they teach on the campus, they have these free online courses. If you guys are wanting to learn anything, they're free. U.S. Constitution, C.S. Lewis, the Book of Genesis, World War II. Yes. Aristotle, Plato, the free market economics. If any of these things are interesting to you guys, they like kind of pique your interest. World War II is kind of my thing, you know what I mean, Jelly Bean. Or even if they sound intimidating, then let Hillsdale College be your guide. Over 3 million people have taken a Hillsdale College course online. There are 39 free courses to choose from. They're easy to follow. They're self-paced, and you can start whenever you guys want. In fact, you can start right now. It's everything you guys need all in one place with no long-term commitment. Learn when and where you want. Enroll now in Hillsdale's not-for-credit online courses program. It's free, it's fun, and it will change the way you understand our country, the world, and the place in it. So go right now to hillsdale.edu/rob to enroll. There's no cost. It's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/rob to register. hillsdale.edu/rob. Now let's talk about Robotine, and I'm seeing even more pushing. So we've been making this episode, I don't know, 15 minutes now. And since we started this episode, it looks like, or since we started doing our research for this episode, it looks like we have even more movement on the southeastern side of the city. And not only that, we have, it looks like, the Ukrainians are pushing even more directly east towards that town of Verbov, which when you get this thing pulled up, we'll be able to see it. But I'm seeing a couple, I'm going to say trusted sources pushing certain things or pushing out certain things, which
people that we believe in.
Yes, people that I actually do trust. It's not like that one gentleman who says that they had a bridgehead across the river for, like, what is that guy's name? Chuck Farr or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Bless him.
Yeah, there's people in the comment section telling you that.
I guess he was a SEAL, but I mean, what's that?
There's people in the comment section that are like, he's a good dude.
I'm sure he's a good dude, but doesn't mean he's got credible intel.
You should listen to Chuck Farr.
Well, Chuck Farr's stuff was not incorrect. It was incorrect as all can be that day. There was literally no pontoon bridges going across the river. You can't claim
I'm just telling you what the guy said.
I'm just being honest with you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a seal. That's great. I mean, great for. I mean, that's cool. Me and him have done a lot of work with seals. Usually, they're kind of like cool people, but they're kind of arrogant at the same time. What are they? What do we call them? Prima donnas. But they're
not all of them.
No, not all of them. There's some really good ones.
But most of them.
A lot of them. But go back to this. Robitaille, you got a Verbove on the most eastern edge of that. And it looks like, I believe you see, can you have it pulled up right now?
Yep.
So go to the Verbove area. It looks like they might be attempting to push down from that most northern portion.
Where are you looking at?
It's more north of there. So find Verbove. See right there?
Verbove.
Yeah, north. Go north right there. Right there. That little peak. That little point.
Oh, this guy?
Yeah, little nipple even farther down to the left. Go west right there, straight up north. Yes, right there. That little nipple right there. It looks like we have some Ukrainians that are attempting to push down currently as we're making this episode and possibly taking that Verbove area. I feel like about a week ago I stated that I thought that, and it wasn't me who stated this, a gentleman who was thinking that that's kind of the area they were going to push those Abrams in once they actually got a little bit of headway inside of this area. And guess what? Could be a thing.
I mean, they've got to spread out and create a corridor a little bit as they go, which
yeah, they
kind of makes
they
sense.
Can't just punch through one area.
Yeah, and those are denoting Russian field fortifications, and God only knows what actually lies in there. But if all of this is field fortifications, and I don't know what it looks like, but it might be easier for them just to like hook right after they go into Verbove and come back around, maybe like help them clear some of that terrain out, because that pretty much spills right down into Tokmak.
Yeah, depending if they're able to actually drive through some of that open field or maybe take some of those back roads.
Who knows, man? I haven't seen the battle plans. Yeah. But if they're able to do that, that'd be pretty cool. If they're able to go that way, that'd definitely make life a lot easier for them. Maybe. I don't know. But all the reporting going on right now in Robotnik, that is pretty cool what they're doing, opening that up. All the reporting right now going on in Robotnik says that, you know, they're halfway through the village if you just kind of stick to the MSM stuff. But once you start actually digging in, it looks like they've actually reached kind of like the Russian fortification line, and that they're all the way down at the southern edge of the village. It's very probable at this point that village has possibly already fallen. I've seen videos of Bradleys. I've seen Brads. I've seen, I don't know, but lots of different armored vehicles like moving down and through Robotnik, like just blasting the place. And you can actually, the nice thing is Robotnik is so small that you can actually look at what they're shooting at and pull up Google Maps and you go, yep, they're right here. So we've got troops on the ground that are probably all the way down to the southern end of Robotnik, and it's likely to have already fallen as of the time we're making this recording, and it might even update here in the future within the next day or two.
I'm trying to find I found it. God, thank God. Okay, it goes just south of Robotnik. You see the town of Novo.
Yep.
Nova per, how do you say the thing?
Chain.
Okay, you see, you're tracking there. So apparently, just happened 39 minutes ago. This just came out as well. This is all coming out as we're doing this. Ukrainian artillery just smashed reinforcements and resupply that's been coming up from that currently, like literally right now. Mm-hmm. And this is all coming from Sentinel imagery, which shows all the fires that are taking place in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at this. I don't know. You could probably actually post some of this, but see, there's Robotnik. Look at the.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're hitting the reinforcements that have been coming
up. See how far away that is. It's not that far.
I don't know. It shouldn't be that far at all. I mean, it's well within artillery range. I mean, they're pounding there. They're pounding those wood lines. Oh, we didn't even bring up that wood line, have we? We haven't brought up that wood line just south of the city.
Not yet, no. We'll have to do that here in just a sec. Let's measure that out for these guys so you can see. I mean, because it's not that far.
No, it can't be that far. So right in between both those cities, which he's about to bring that up as well.
Three and a half clicks, maybe.
Okay, so what are we looking at? Not even like 2 miles or so?
Yeah, I mean, you could hit that with like mortars.
Yeah, that's not far at all. So right in between both those cities, go ahead and show them, like just circle around with your yeah.
Oh, I showed him.
The green area.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah, so that right there, just so you guys are aware, I think I pinged him with some, I don't know if we can show that footage or not. I hope we can. Let me go ahead and pull this up. I think you'll be able to show that footage. So the footage you guys are now overlaying that he just circled, that is happening. This is all happening real time as we are making this episode with you guys. That is artillery coming in from the Ukrainians. I'm going to assume that I know there's a trench line on the bottom right-hand portion of the screen, as you guys can see, that leads all the way up that hedge or hedgerow that runs all the way north. And you can see it kind of peels off even again. Off to the east there. Yeah, you can really see it there. But my God, the pitting that's out front, they're just pounding it with artillery as they're, I would call this more or less shaping operations to continue push south. I think they're doing a great job. I think right now everything seems like it's going to plan from the outside looking in. Don't know what the casualty numbers are, but it does look like that we're seeing this movement that's been going on over the last week is actually advancing at a, I would actually call this a steady
decent
pace.
Rate.
That's a decent rate. This is actually the most decent rate we've seen in months for the Ukrainians. There's some good stuff. I like it. I like it. I like it. Oh. If you were actually wondering, trending in the United States right now on Twitter is fat bottomed girls.
That's good.
And I'm going to click on it.
That's good.
Because I want to know what it's coming. It's of a, oh, okay. It has nothing to do with girls dancing or anything like that. It's of Queen playing Fat Bottom Girls.
Yes.
That's exactly. Literally, yes. It's just yes. Videos of that right now.
Oh, yes. Thank
you. Has nothing to do with dancing TikTok woman.
I had to have that.
It was Queen dancing on a stage and has been tweeted 3,000 times. So thank God for me. They got me. My wife isn't listening, so she doesn't know I clicked on Fat Bottom Girls.
Yeah, she probably knows. I mean, how did you guys meet?
I don't know. Clicked on Fat Bottom.
All right. Let me open this sucker up, man. So I think you had opined the other day saying that all Ukraine really has to do is get within artillery range. And I kind of took that. I was like, you know, maybe I want to know more or less what their artillery range looks like. So here's this map. Nice thing about deep state is it does allow you to overlay artillery and things like that, and you can pull up a wide variety and wide selection. So let's go ahead and open up, as I want to talk about this, because just because they get within range, the 177 howitzer, for example, okay? So, or I'm sorry, the M777 howitzer. So if we look at that, we go inside, you go, hey, that's great. It fires all these different rounds, and deep state does a good enough job of showing you which rounds are actually in service. So the M982 Excalibur round, are you familiar with that one?
Actually, I know a little bit about it.
It's like the GPS guide.
Yeah.
They can go down it's and like hit the a pinpoint. Real one. But do you know that the first time that Excalibur round got fired in combat was by a unit that we relieved over in Kirkuk? Yeah. The more didn't you know. The more you know. Oh, yeah, so it was like didn't still new. Know. Yeah, they shot one right into a building. And so instead of doing an airstrike, they were like, we'll just use this Excalibur round.
Well, learn something new. That was back in 2009. No?
Yeah.
Nine.
So then you have like your general, like M107, just regular dummy rounds. And then you have these other ones that like start bumping up a little bit and you see this wider range, like 30.1 and
I don't know whatever. Anything about those
it's,
ones.
It's out there. So yeah.
Those are just all three dummy rounds, correct?
For the most part. Well, yes and no. Okay. So there's some differences between them. Like the standard M107 that you're like, you're looking at, it's a dumb round. Point it, shoot it, let it go. The 795 and the 595, when you look at them, there's actually things that are called rocket-assisted projectiles or wraparounds. They're really cool. They shoot, they go up, and there's a little rocket afterburner that gives it, like, extra distance. So the rocket kicks on, like, as it's being shot, and it allows it to go even further. So if we're using those wraparounds, they're all the way out. But the cool thing about this map is, let's say we take the M777 and pull it up, and we'll use the 107 dummy round and throw it up on there, and we're going to boop, smack dab it right now. If you look at this from where they're at, Tokamak is just kind of like right outside of that, right? Like kind of right outside of that scope of influence for it. So they'll have to push a little bit further south with it. But the nice thing, right, and I'm sure that this is something that their commanders have done time over time again. So let's open it back up. Let's go down. So not the Toad, self-propelled, the Crab. I want to say the AHS system, the 155, is from Poland. I want to say it's a Polish one. Also fires the Excalibur and the dummy rounds, but here's the nice thing. That same round fired out of the Crab actually gets a little bit more distance, barrel length and whatnot. Bam! So if they're moving in the self-propelled units to go down there, they can actually, right now, talk box within range, within the self-propelled artillery pieces. Right? Like picture a rifle barrel, you know? Like a 10.5-inch barrel has a lower muzzle velocity than a 16.
Wow, shocker. It works the same for artillery. Right. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
A longer tube meant going farther.
Yeah. Now, they can swap out different propellants and everything else, but that's just with the dummy rounds. The wrap rounds will 100% reach down there if they have enough of them to be able to get in there. But that's, generally speaking, when you look at it, that's where they're at.
So by saying this, I would assume they probably need to push down a little bit more than what they're at right now because they're not really safe whatsoever. So yeah. If they were to push a little bit, say they take the south that's just, or the city that's just south of them, or town that's just south of them, they could essentially push artillery unit into this area, okay, of Robotyne, and effectively touch certain areas in Tokamak leading up. So they can do shaping operations and smash every single thing south of them.
Correct.
As they push, well, yeah, southeast, north, whatever you want
to do. They could start staging artillery right
here.
They could
right there. Yeah. And they could start just absolutely
and just sending it.
That's where I think it's, I think I may have mentioned this last week. I don't remember sometimes what I mentioned, but I think if we're talking about you get artillery pieces into these areas and you can really do a little bit of damage. Wow.
Stop it.
Well, that thing's moving around.
Why is it moving so much?
But there it goes. You know what I mean? Like yeah. they can actually get, they get an artillery unit inside there. They make it, I'm going to use the word fortified very lightly here, but they're like get them in positions where they're not going to get absolutely smashed and lose a lot of pieces. And they can do shaping operations and push a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Which we 100% know they were doing shaping operations prior to this because there's so many pitted out areas.
Right.
Like that's what else were they doing other than just pounding home on Russian trench lines.
Right. Now here's something cool that I pulled up and I was looking at it and I was like, damn, I like that. So I'm going to throw this up on people's screen so I can talk about it. So do you remember how we showed that one video last week where it had the inside of Robotyne with the Russian guys that we showed running around?
Actually, no, you got this probably
had from that projectile. And then here's that same projectile right there. Or I'm sorry, it's not a projectile. It's a submunition. It's drop, right? So this comes out of the artillery shell. Do you know where I got this from? So you can quote it because exactly, I don't remember.
I know exactly who you get those from or who makes these little things like this. Who makes them? It's that Chuck Farr. That's the same one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I he's the one I think that makes these kind of looking images because sometimes people like make fun of them because they're like spelled incorrectly or they're like the wrong things on there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's from him as well. But this one looks correct.
Either way.
It's a correct infographic.
So let's talk about this because these little, I didn't realize this, that was inside these artillery shells. You know, the ones that I was picturing with the cluster munitions that we had sent them were not these ones. I had pictured them being like I said, like the all-way acting fuse, basically like little frag rounds that like hit the ground and go off. These ones are a little different, which is what makes them so special. See that word right there? Shape charge. And I saw it in the video and I was like, is that what I think it is? And then I just pulled this up, like did a little research into it 100%. So they're like little miniature shape charges, which is cool. You know what shape charges are used for?
Oh, I know what shape charges are used for.
To defeat armor. You know what else they're great for?
Scary.
I'm sorry?
They're scary.
So the Miklicks that everybody likes to talk about, you know, the line charge that shoots like, goes out and then it drops it down. Those are actually filled with a bunch of miniature shape charges.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not. Excuse me. Depends on which.
I thought it was just one big rope of C4.
So they have a rope of C4 that goes out, but they also like have ones that drop a blanket of shape charges. And it's the shape charges that are going off, like a bunch of tiny little shape charges like this that go off and shoot into the ground. So if you were to just use a big line of C4, now you're depending on like surface detonation. So we have those things, right? Like the APOBs, for example, I think it's just a bunch of frags, but it's like a smaller version of it. But the Miklicks have ones that shoot a bunch of shape charges down to the ground. And so it's the shape charges that are setting off the mines.
The more you know. Thank you so much, Chuck Farr, for this beautiful graphic. And now he gets to explain it to all of us.
Well, great. I just thought it was kind of cool that the biggest complaint that the Ukrainians have in their battle is for demining operations, right? Like all the mines and stuff that they're up against. And we gave them munition that actually would work for that as well.
Okay, so I got a question for you, though.
Okay.
How many? Oh, it says I see it at the very top. It has 72 of them inside. 72 of those, and they're about this big.
Well, that's for the HEDP, right?
Okay, so I'm talking about, so if you were to shoot those over a minefield, you would have to shoot quite a bit.
You'd have to shoot a shit ton.
Like a lot.
A ton.
Is you sure that's actually really effective, or would you rather just demine it with a...
It will set them off, and the nice, you know, they have a bunch of those anti-tank mines that are just kind of surface laid that they just take and just freaking throw everywhere. Then they have other ones that they actually bury. These are going to be good for the bury ones, and they're going to be good for the surface mines as well. So
interesting.
Is it effective?
Yes. Human beings and armor and everything else. Because that video that we were looking at earlier, that was using cluster munitions. 100%. The one with the dudes, or not the dudes, but the BMPs and whatever the hell else that they had, just the artillery pieces that were moving out. They were using those on those. And they would rip those little canister looking deals. Those are going to rip right through that stuff like butter.
Correct. They'll just
hold on. Some of these people may not know what a shape charge is. Can we? I don't have anything to show him what a shaped charge is. Shaped charge is it goes.
I can describe it actually.
Goes backwards and then goes forwards.
I can describe it based on this right here. If you were to picture this being a hollowed out area inside a shell, so this coming straight up, and it's just a shell that comes up and goes over top. Then you have your explosive that wraps around this hollowed area, right? So you have a hollow cone shape in the middle, and then your explosive that wraps all the way around it and is detonated from the rear center. And when it detonates and it goes off, that explosion starts carrying down until it hits here. But because there's explosion on the side up over here that's pushing inward and inward in every direction, it creates this hot gas. And so the explosion's going down and in, and it just compresses all the air, and it creates this, like, seriously, like, high-pressure freaking jet that just blasts straight down and out.
A massive needle.
Big needle.
Through everything.
Yep.
Very scary. So
I got to be confused with an EFP.
No. No.
Or a platter.
I don't think an EFP would be that same. It's in the same realm of...
Same concept, only without the copper.
Okay. I was like, oh, I guess it kind of the same thing. So I got hit by an RKG in Iraq, and it didn't go off.
Correct.
That would be... It's a shaped charge, but it's instead of a hand grenade.
Yeah. It's a shaped charge instead of a hand grenade. RKG-3. Same thing with the RPG-7. You know, people look at those and it's got like a copper jacket.
Weird pointy nose.
Yeah.
So,
well, those
I don't
are.
I have one. I thought I had that. I thought I had one over there. RPG head. I don't. Is that the right? You see what I have over there?
That is.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right one. I can grab it though.
Yeah, grab it.
Because
you can.
The fans or the fins on it though.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yes, talk about this. So, yeah.
I don't know how we got on this.
Yeah. PG-7. PG-7 says like, it right there.
It's even in Russian, huh?
Yeah, but the reason that you know how it does what it does, actually, so it's the same thing on these. Like, yeah, there's a little copper lining inside, but that's more or less just hold the explosive inside. It's not to create the EFP, so to speak. All of this is an empty shell. It's just open and empty. And then you have that same cone shape that's back in here. That's going out. So when it hits, this is all distance and standoff. So this is filled with a piezoelectric crystal that's inside. Same thing when you squeeze your lighter and it goes click, click, click. It's the same thing that's inside here. And when it hits, it smashes and shakes the crystal, and it sends the detonation actually back to the rear center of this, and it starts exploding from here forward, going up and out. And then this whole thing obviously just gets blasted because it doesn't exist. But that's your shape charge. This is a standoff distance for it. And that's all you need to know. So standoff, it hits, causes the explosion, detonates forward, causes shape, boom, blasts in. That's that heat wave that's blasting through on these that causes it to do what it does. It's the same exact thing, only much, much tinier for those little bomblets or the little droplets. Same exact concept.
Hmm.
Now we know. And YouTube, this is not a real RPG.
No,
this
it's
is
not.
Plastic.
It is actually, yeah, it's from a 3D printed, it's a 3D printed RPG head.
Yeah.
Not entirely why I bought that. Or where I got it from, or why I got it, I have no idea. I know that the fins pop out and everything.
Yeah, what's funny is most people, they see RPGs and they think that like they're all like this. You know what I mean? Mm. But there's incendiary rounds, there's HE rounds, there's all types of crap that comes out of RPGs, which is what's great.
RPGs are actually, I mean, they don't shoot straight all the time, but...
They're extremely effective.
I remember
they're
one...
Not, they're like seriously beyond like 400 meters, they're no good. I've seen them. I don't know if they all do it. I forget because it's been out of the game too long. If they self-destruct at 900, but I forget. But I've had them like lobbed at me from.
I have a funny.
God only knows how far away. Sometimes
you were there this one time. I remember one getting shot at us. We had these little fins that are on the back here. It must have had a fucked up fin or something. Oh man, you got to bleep that out. It must have had a jacked up fin or something on the back end. But it had a. It was when we first moved over to that camp on the border of Pakistan. It was like day number two of being there, day number three.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept ramping up their shooting at us. The daily, kind of like testing us. And I remember I was up there and they shot an RPG from the wood line at us. And I'll never forget, it was coming in like this, like just doing massive odd circles. And it just went up and it just nosedove like 100 or 200 yards right in front of our camp. I'll never forget that. It was the craziest thing. It was coming in like this, all jacked up, not even coming in straight.
There was one that hit.
I'll never forget
I ran up next to you. And there's one
RPG flying at us.
There's one that hit like 50 yards in front of us. I ran up next to you one day and one had just went boom and like smacked down in front of us.
But, bless.
Yeah.
I just, some of the stories I kind of forget about.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh.
RPGs.
RPGs. Hanging out here. Well, I hope you guys didn't enjoy this episode. We'll be back tomorrow with another one.
Oh, wait, Rob. I got to show you this before
what
we go.
What is it? World's, what you got? Is
World's Worst Tattoo. Yeah. World's Worst Tattoo.
What is it? Oh, God. I've seen that.
Have you?
I have.
Oh, God. It's so bad.
I feel bad for him.
Poor bastard. Just put you on blast.
Oh, God.
Like, who thought that was a good idea? He even put, like, the little lapel thing up there.
Oh, and God. Poor guy.
Sorry.
Oh, God. He's way out of shape, too.
Yeah.
Well, he's more out of shape than me, and I've been out of the game for a while.
Yeah, I'm retired, and I'm in better shape than
I hope you guys have a good day. We'll see you guys tomorrow, RPG heads included. I'll see you guys.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.